And greetings, friends. The prophesied beast of Revelation is rising up now. This powerful military combine will drastically affect your life and soon. I recently returned from Europe and personally saw and heard things that you need to know. I've known about these things, but I understand them more fully. Things are happening behind the scenes. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Roderick C. Meredith proves the beast is rising. And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, your own life and everything around you is destined to change dramatically, for a great religious, military, and political power is rising in Europe that will eventually shock the American, British, and Canadian peoples. Yes, it really will. My friends, you need to understand. I've understood these things for many years overall, but they're happening and they're beginning to speed up. Things are coming together. On my recent trip to Britain and Europe, I was able to interview a number of people who helped me understand even more fully. In no uncertain terms, they warned me of the depth of resentment and envy felt by millions of Europeans against the United States of America. Because of our affluence and our own arrogance, many Europeans and others are simply turned off to America. American tourists are often unruly and uncouth, and they offend these people. Our television programs, our films, and our music, which is exported to them, is often absolutely abominable, and they understand. All this is playing right into the hands of the Eurocrats, for they want to build a United States of Europe as a challenge to the United States of America in world affairs. Picture the multitudes in the great European cities, and they are great cities, with hundreds of millions of people over there. They are overall highly educated and technically sophisticated. Remember, my friends, it was Germany who introduced rockets into modern warfare in the closing months of World War II. After the war, America brought over Wernher von Braun and other German scientists to help us launch our space program. Soon, a powerful religious element will also be introduced into European thinking regarding the restoration of Europe's glory and power. Again, most Americans and Canadians seem totally unaware of where this is going to lead. Picture the churches and cathedrals all over Europe and the powerful influence they have and will have beyond what you can imagine, most of you. For you need to understand how this is going to affect your very life and everything around you, and I mean it. Your Bible clearly describes an end-time revival of the Holy Roman Empire with a powerful church riding this coming beast. Turn with me now to Revelation 17 in your own Bible. Open your Bible if you have one handy. Please learn to study and prove these things out of your Bible. Don't believe me. Just believe what you read in your Bible. It's been there all the time. It's interesting. It's powerful. It's now, because it's beginning to come together. These prophecies that have been there in the words of this book all these years, and your future and your very life depend upon your understanding and upon what you do about it. Turn with me to Revelation 17, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, "Come, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." Here is a great fallen woman. Now, a woman is used throughout the Bible as a symbol of a church. You'll find that back in 2 Corinthians 11, Ephesians 5, and elsewhere. And this woman is sitting on many waters, as you see. Notice quickly verse 15. What are these waters? The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Many nations speaking different languages under the influence of this great fallen woman. Go back to verse 2 now and pick up the story. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Her false teachings have made this world drunk. They're spiritually confused. They're blinded. They're mixed up. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now let's pick up the story in verse 7. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. The beast that you saw was, it did exist, frankly, as the Roman Empire way back when, and I'll be explaining that, and is not. The Roman Empire went under, as you know, and fell in 476 A.D. and was revived by Justinian. These are historical facts. All historians know this. It was revived by Justinian, restored in 554. And it will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. Eventually, the whole system will be put right into perdition or utter destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel. People are going to be astonished when this thing rises up again. They will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. The seven heads are seven mountains or kingdoms on which the woman sits. And you find, as it's described through here, why there these seven major revivals are not together. They're over a period of time. First was Justinian, as I mentioned, in 554 A.D. Then Charlemagne, 800, and revived that same system. History bears this out. Otto the Great came along in 962. Charles V came along in 1530, reviving what was then called the Habsburg dynasty. And I got to see some of the remnants of that dynasty recently in Vienna. And I'll be telling you more about that in future programs. Napoleon came along about 1805 to 1814, and then the Hitler-Mussolini axis, 1939 to 45. And yes, it was called the Holy Roman Empire, and you'll find that in the encyclopedia. That's what Mussolini called it, the Holy Roman Empire. And that was the sixth revival, a very quick one, up and down. And the final revival, of course, is going to be the seventh one, or the beast of Revelation. So he's talking about these revivals here. There are seven kings, five have fallen. Why does he say that? Because at the time that this began to be revealed to the true church to understand, and people could really grasp this at the time of the end, remember, many of these visions were closed and sealed until the time of the end, as God told Daniel. But as it began to be understood in the 1940s and the 1950s, you had this little Hitler-Mussolini revival just lasting for a few years, and then it went down. And so he said, five have fallen, one is this Mussolini revival with Hitler, and the other has not yet come, the final revival, the beast. And when he comes, he will continue a short time, great power, but using it carefully at first to win people over. And so he is going to come along, and he will continue a short time. He won't last very long either, thankfully. And the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth. The final revival is the eighth Roman system. You had the original Roman Empire, and then he'll be the seventh of the revivals, and he will be the eighth, and is going into perdition. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. They're going to rise up, various kings, various rulers, frankly, in Europe and the area of the old Roman Empire, and they will rise up as kings along with this beast, this super dictator called the beast in your Bible. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. This clever individual coming along will somehow be able, with the help of the great false prophet, to get these people to follow him. And they will willingly give their power for a short time to this beast, this final super dictator. These will make war with the Lamb. Think about the arrogance of these individuals. They will be so powerful, they will be so wealthy, they will be so filled with vanity, they will think they are virtual gods, and they will be there to make war with Christ when he comes. And the Lamb will overcome them, For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. This final revival of the Roman Empire will become so powerful and arrogant, it will eventually challenge and fight Jesus Christ himself. Think about it. How could human beings do this? Can you imagine this? We need to think about what's going on behind the scenes and begin to get closer to our God, because prophetic events are coming together. Obviously, the people caught up in this system will be terribly deceived by Satan the devil working through this woman who rides the beast. As Revelation 17 verse 2 says, these people are spiritually drunk. They are blind, they're confused by the false teachings of the great harlot. You really do need to understand, folks. You need to get close to God. You need to grasp what's going on. Turn to Daniel chapter 2 now, and beginning in verse 36. Now we will give the interpretation before the king. This is King Nebuchadnezzar. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Verse 39, but after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours. Yes, it did come, the Medo-Persian Empire, starting out, of course, with the Medes, and then the Persians carrying on. A third kingdom of bronze, that was the kingdom, Greco-Macedonian kingdom of Alexander the Great, as he was called, and it would rule over all the earth. And verse 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, a very powerful kingdom, but not having the beauty, not having the quality that these other kingdoms had. It will be iron. Inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters all things, going around crushing the world. That's what's just ahead of us. That's what's going to affect your life. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, you see a mixture, the kingdom will be divided. They won't be the same peoples. They'll be different people speaking different languages and somewhat at odds with one another from time to time. And so the strength of the iron will be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet, 10 toes, were partly of iron and clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly fragile. And he says in verse 44, in the days of these kings, these final kings just ahead of you in your life, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That, my friends, is the kingdom of God, a literal government to be set up on this earth. The fifth kingdom will be the kingdom of the returning Jesus Christ. That kingdom will never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. As he comes back to this earth, Christ will crush this revived Roman Empire and all the various trappings that it has and all of its ways, which will turn even more wicked than they ever were before. Notice Revelation 11 now and verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he, Christ, shall reign forever and ever. These are not kingdoms up in heaven. These are kingdoms here on this earth. He takes them over, and Christ returns before these rebellious rulers would literally destroy the entire earth. And so the angels praise God about that, because Christ is coming just in time. Now back to our topic, my friends. The beast is rising up. Notice again Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. It shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The kingdom of God will go on, and you and I have an opportunity to be born into that kingdom in the resurrection from the dead. We have the opportunity to become part of that kingdom and to become kings and priests under Jesus Christ, as we've explained to you so many times on this program. Christ's kingdom will crush the final humanly devised empire. It is absolutely outstanding volume, The Principality and Power of Europe. British author Adrian Hilton writes, the vision of a Holy Roman Empire under a Roman Catholic aegis is a favorite theme of the present Pope John Paul II. Indeed, he believes it is his literal calling from God, notice this, to preside over these crucial immediate years in order to witness it. In Poland in 1979, he declared, quote, "Europe, despite its present and long-lasting divisions of regimes, ideologies, and economic systems, cannot cease to seek its fundamental unity and must turn to Christianity. Economic and political reasons," he continued, "cannot do it. We must go deeper." He went further in a 1982 speech in Spain, and he proclaimed, "I, Bishop of Rome and Shepherd of the Universal Church from Santiago, utter to you, Europe of the ages, a cry full of love. Find yourself again. Be yourself. Discover your origins. Revive your roots." Think about the emotional fervor and the zeal of the Europeans if they were fully united under what they felt was God's special guidance and blessing. Picture the pageantry and the military and religious processions, the music, the teeming masses all over Europe who would fervently respond to such an event. Most in America cannot understand that kind of fervor, but it is there, my friends. I've seen it. Yet an astonished world will see these things finally come together within this generation. Turn to Daniel chapter 7 and beginning in verse 19. "And then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast," Daniel writes, "which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful with his teeth of iron and nails of bronze." The Roman Empire went all over the Mediterranean area, conquering and crushing, of course. "And about the 10 horns which were on its head, and about the other horn which came up, before whom 3 fell, namely that horn which had the eyes and mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came," Christ comes, "and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom." Finally, God's servants, God's faithful Christians, will possess the kingdoms of this world. Thus he said, "The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and trample and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them, and shall be different from the first ones." It was to subdue 3 kings, as I said, the Vandals, Heruli, and Ostrogoths. "He shall speak pompous words against the Most High," this little horn, this great speaker that dominates over that system. "He shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand, times and times and half a time. But at the end, we win. The true saints of God do win, because," he continues, "the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion, and consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High." The saints of the Most High will take over the kingdoms of this world, not up in heaven. "His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions on this earth, obviously, shall serve and obey him." This is our calling. This is what is just ahead, and we need deeply to understand. Turn to Revelation chapter 18 now, my friends. Revelation chapter 18, and you'll notice how God breaks into the story here in Revelation 18 and talks to us about this system. Verse 1, "After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven," John writes, "having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great," this whole system it's talking about here, is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Demons are going to come into this system. Demons are going to greatly influence this whole thing, my friends. "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." The wealthy merchants of Europe are going to become millionaires and billionaires if they go along with this system. This is going to be a powerful system, astonishing much of the Western world when it comes up so quickly. in his final revival. And I heard another voice from heaven, here's God speaking to you, saying, come out of her. Please, my friends, understand these things are beginning to come together now. And God says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. That is God's command to you. May God help you to understand and to act. Finally, my friends, what are you going to do about this important information? It will be very easy to go along with the crowd as this entire system takes over the Western world during the next 10 to 20 years. Sadly, even many renowned religious leaders will go along with this system. Notice John chapter 12, if you would. Notice John chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, that is, in Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Are you going to love the praise of men more than the praise of God and go along with a system that is obviously directly contrary to the entire Bible, to the entire way you ought to be worshiping God? Following the Bible, living by every word of God, and having the true Jesus Christ as the center of your life? Are you going to go along with the system, go along with those who seem to be important? Human nature has not changed. Think about it. Pray about it. Notice now in Philippians, if you would, turn back to the book of Philippians, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse chapter 4 of Philippians and verse 11. Paul writes, I do not speak in regard to need, and we're going to have a lot of trials and tests as this system rises, my friends. You're going to have faith and courage. But Paul writes, I don't speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. You're going to have to walk with God, have your faith and trust in the living God and the true Jesus Christ of your Bible. Lots of people talk about Christ, as you know, but most of you realize that most of the mainstream churches and their ministers have been trained in the seminaries that the resurrection did not really happen, that the virgin birth did not really happen, that the miracles of Christ did not really happen, and that Christ may not have even been a historical character. They're taught that. On this program, we talk about the true Christ of the Bible, who's about to return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords within the lifetimes of millions of you. In Philippians chapter 4, now verse 12, Paul continues, I know how to be abased. Yes, we'll have to go through trials like Paul did. I know how to be abased, as I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be full and to be hungry. Yes, we're blessed at times, and other times we're going to have terrible trials, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let Christ be your shield, your deliverer, my friends. You need to know the true Christ. You need to walk with him and put your trust in him.